Hey, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you're having a great day, great night, wherever you're watching or listening in from. Today, I want to talk about a couple different things with you in the crypto markets. One of the first being the price of Ethereum and the bearish kind of momentum and the bearish thoughts, it seems like, around Ethereum in general and the price of ETH, because there are a lot of people that are just hammering home on ETH, hammering home on it. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the narrative around that, whether or not there's any substance to it, or if it's just kind of negative price action in the overall market, but also in comparison to Bitcoin as well. Also want to talk about a new alternative to the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, GBTC, which is from DCG, Barry Silbert's company. There is now an ETN, or an exchange traded note, and there's actually a reason why that's pretty substantial news in some respects to the market as a whole. We'll bring up a tweet from Spencer Noon on that, who's one of somebody I really respect in the industry as well. And then we'll talk just a little bit about some of the market movements that are starting to maybe make a little bit more sense. You're starting to see some crypto assets again, finally, that seem to be a little bit more reactionary to the news. And if there is something positive that's happening to them, then they're actually reacting in a positive manner until they then dump off and join the rest of the market. But it does show some opportunities, I think, for the marketplace as a whole. And you're seeing that for a number of these different cryptocurrencies. Two that I'm thinking about, and we'll discuss a little bit further, Ethereum Classic with the Coinbase listing and Polymath on the back of their announcement of mainnet launch. Both had positive reactions to that and then since sold off, but good to see what exactly happens with that as you continue to move forward in the market as a whole. So let's get started with everything today. Before we get into today's episode, I want to talk to you guys about my friends over at Finn. Now, for me, there's just not enough time in the day when it comes to the full-time job, the YouTube channel, keeping up with the prices of crypto, the news on Twitter, all that stuff. It's damn near impossible. I need a lot of help, and that's where Finn comes in. It is, for me, it's my assistant. It helps me to get things done, the most important tasks that I need to get done that, quite frankly, I'm either too lazy to get done or don't have enough time in my day to get them done. So whether it's making important calls for me, sending emails on my behalf, even paying bills sometimes, remembering important dates, if it's a family member's birthday, my mental clarity for that half the time doesn't get done. Now Finn reminds me of, hey, it's your sister's birthday. Hey, it's your mom's birthday. So I actually can do that and then reach out to them, and then they'll even send them a gift, flowers, whatever it might be. I really level up Finn so far. Using it's been awesome, and I think you're going to love it as well. So as a listener of the show, I've arranged for you guys to try Finn for free. Just use my link. It's finn.com/Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, and that's finn.com/Bobby to try Finn for free, finn.com/Bobby. Let's go. So as you can see on Ethereum right now, now, Ethereum has taken an absolute bath since May, and this is not USD. This is against the price of Bitcoin, and Ethereum is down 46% against the price of Bitcoin since in the past 90 days. So basically in the past 3 months or so, ETH is down about 45, 46% since the past 90 days. And one of the there's been a couple of narratives that have circulated. One is a research piece from Tetris Capital, and then that also led to a big Forbes article about why the top money managers in crypto are now shorting Ethereum and or shorting ETH, excuse me. And there is a lot of commentary now about the overvaluation of ETH, because you have a couple different things that I think are contributing to that. Number one, you have a pretty high valuation for Ethereum as it is, and on the back of that, you have all these big promises, this grand vision of a decentralized world computer, all these distributed or decentralized applications, all these dApps that have come out and raised all this money. And for the most part, many of the dApps that are out there have not picked up traction or are not even launched yet. And as you continue to look at the market, you start to say, like, hey, you know, the only thing that's really picking up a ton of steam maybe on the Ethereum network is some of these decentralized exchanges like IDEX, Fork Delta, previously Ether Delta, and even these proof of work or the proof of weak hands, whatever it is, these kind of decentralized Ponzi games that people apparently love to play, that I would not put my money into if you put a gun to my head. But people love to play them, and that's their prerogative, so they could do that. But I mean, outside of essentially the decentralized exchanges, CryptoKitties for a small time being, and then you had And then you have these kind of decentralized Ponzi games. There's not a ton that's happening in the dApp landscape right now. And that is number one, frustrating people. I think a lot of people look at that and say, okay, this is never going to happen. Ethereum was cool for a little bit of time. The vision is not there. You know, it's just never going to come to fruition. And then on top of that, when you look at the sell-off in the price, there are a lot of people that have recently pointed to ICOs raising money and selling off their Ethereum back into fiat because they obviously need cash to fund their business. And you have a lot of different crypto companies out there that have raised money, a significant amount of Ethereum, through an initial coin offering, through a token generation event, whatever you want to call it. Probably the biggest one being EOS. When you talk about some of these companies, some of them are built on Ethereum. So you talk about some of these projects, you might talk about a District 0x or a 0x or an AirSwap or a Bloom or some of the Status, whatever it might be. A lot of those are building on the Ethereum network and very much are not in competition to Ethereum. On the other end of the spectrum, there are other companies out there. There are other projects out there that have raised money in Ethereum, like EOS, that people are giving their money away in Ethereum and getting EOS back. You're giving that Ethereum to EOS, and obviously EOS wants to get as much money for that as possible, but there's also some incentive there for them to potentially bring down the price of a competitor through the assets that they now have that are specifically competitive to what they're doing. And a lot of people have pointed to this, not necessarily just EOS, but a lot of these ICO sell-offs as one of the massive reasons for this Ethereum sell-off in comparison to Bitcoin. But when you look at it, and this is just one website, but dapp capitulation.com, I'll post a link to it below, but it does go to show some of the moves that have been made in the past 30 days. And this is on some of the larger ICOs that have anywhere from 136 to $100 million to 5 to 10 to 20 to $50 million of Ethereum in a specific ETH address, basically in the bank, and they have that on hand as reserves, and there is the potential for those to, for them to move that around. However, when you look in the past 30 days, the big narrative has been ICOs, token sales are selling off, they're selling off everything, and they're crashing the market. At least when you look at these projects, the biggest sale was from 0x or 0x project. They sold 3,000 Ethereum, which is less than $1 million. That's not necessarily, depending upon how they sold that, that's probably not going to necessarily crash the market as $1,000 worth of Ethereum to disperse that amongst the market as a whole. Probably not going to get much done. So I think some of the narrative is overplayed, but you also have to take into consideration what happened previously in the last 30 days and some of these other projects that are not maybe necessarily as transparent, not necessarily as transparent as some of these other ones, and are not being tracked within this website. But an interesting website, dappcapitulation.com, for you to check out. You could see when some of these companies that have raised money through a token sale, through an ICO, are moving their Ethereum around and potentially selling that on the market or doing something else with it to maybe fund their business. Now, on the other side of the house too, this is some interesting news because a lot of people talk about a Bitcoin ETF. Everybody wants to talk about the ETFs. Fantastic. Exchange traded fund, whatever. That is, in my opinion, probably not going to happen until February 2019 at the earliest. I think a lot of people have talked about the Solidex VanEck ETF is the one having the best chance to be approved by regulators. The last date after if it gets pushed back, the next date is September 30th. But if it gets pushed back all the way to the final day of approvals, that's somewhere in like mid-February, and I think that's probably where if it does get approved, that'll be the earliest it gets approved. So hold your horses on that. That's at least my opinion. But there are other alternatives right now where you can purchase Bitcoin, or you can purchase an asset tied to Bitcoin, potentially in something like your TD Ameritrade account or Fidelity account or whatever it might be. And right now, that is GBTC. It is the Grayscale Bitcoin Investment Trust that's actually run by DCG, which is Barry Silbert's company, which is essentially a holding company for a number of different blockchain crypto-related organizations. Now, the problem with GBTC is that it, because And we've talked about this a little bit before on the channel, but because GBTC is basically the only place where you can go in a brokerage account, and even though it's an OTC, so it's not traded on the New York Stock Exchange, it's not traded on the NASDAQ, it's traded on OTC markets, but even though it's traded on OTC, it's one of the few places that you can go with a brokerage account to get exposure or direct exposure to the price of Bitcoin. And because of that, because it really is the only place to go, it trades at a significant premium to the underlying assets. So with that being said, you are paying, in some cases, you paid a 30, 40, 50% premium for the GBTC Bitcoin, essentially, that you would be paying if you had bought Bitcoin directly. And that is because you can acquire it directly through a brokerage account. Now, the interesting part about this is there is now what is called an exchange-traded note that American investors are able to buy. This came out 2 days ago, and this is something that is traded on a Swedish exchange, but it is the CXBTF. And something to take a look at here as well, but the interesting thing about this too is that it has not previously traded at a premium to Bitcoin. So the GBTC investment instrument has typically traded at a significant premium to Bitcoin. So you're basically paying more because it's the only place you can get it. Now with CXBTF, you do not essentially have to pay a premium for it. And CXBTF does say, one of the individuals there does say they do see this as a directly competitive product to what GBTC has. And they say historically their assets have not traded at a premium and are liquid. So this could be another opportunity. No, it's not an ETF. I'm not going to sit here and say it is. I'm not going to sit here and say it has any bit of the, you know, of the level of institutional respect per se that a... That's something like an ETF would have, but this ETN, this exchange-traded note, which is, again, also on the OTC markets, similar to GBTC, but the fact that it does not trade at a premium will be interesting to watch this pan out. Now, Spencer Noon, who is an investor in the crypto investor in the space, we'll pull this over here, but he's been keeping an eye on it, and on the volume as well as the premium and what is happening to the premium of GBTC as CXBTF comes out. And as you're looking at this, so he tweeted this about a day ago, but he kind of joked around, but seriously, free Bitcoin alert. If you own GBTC, you're paying about a 50% premium to the underlying spot price of Bitcoin. As of yesterday, there is a new way for retail investors to get exposure with no premium. So GBTC holders can sell or CXBTF and get 50% more Bitcoin instantly. Makes a decent amount of sense to me. And in the past about 24-hour volume range, he tweeted on the 16th, it was about $3 million in volume. Right now, it's about $2.7 million in volume, I believe. But the GBTC, interestingly enough, the GBTC premium over the past couple of days has actually come down a little bit because of the competition from CXBTF. So something to keep an eye on, just another potential instrument for people to get exposure to Bitcoin that is not necessarily spot Bitcoin, that is not self-custodied Bitcoin, but you can actually buy it through a brokerage account. So that's something that, you know, I've kept my eye on there as well. And lastly, too, so we'll pull this up and we'll pull up ETC. And as a lot of you folks know, ETC was added to ETC was added to Coinbase. So what do we got here? I'll pull it up on Bittrex.